Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and we are live. We are live here in San Francisco at Build. But I love coming to San Francisco. This town is alive.
The weather is way better than Seattle. Way better than Seattle.
And it's just alive. I love coming
vibrant.
Here.
Vibrant. These people.
I'm joined today by Ryan Salva, good friend of the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we've brought with us three of the leading luminaries in the JavaScript world, John Bristow, Max Lynch, and Jesse McFadden. And before we talk about JavaScript, I do want to show our prop. This is from the Visual Studio Partner Program at their booth. They are giving out the Partner Program Toolbox. So this is very cool. So if you are here at Build, come by the Partner Program booth, find out how you can join the program and write extensions. And if you write a good enough one, maybe we'll have it on the show, and see if you can get yourself a toolbox.
Get your own goth lunchbox is what
Absolutely,
it looks like.
Absolutely, I love that.
It's a toolbox, not a lunchbox.
Right, exactly. Toolbox, excuse me, pardon me.
So, JavaScript. Let's, Ryan, there was some news that we wanted to start off
yeah,
with.
Yeah, totally. So, the most recent excitement to come out of my team in particular is that today we released a Visual Studio Code extension, or an update to an existing extension that adds Ionic support to Visual Studio Code. So now you've got IntelliSense for Ionic commands within Visual Studio Code. You've got command palette integration. So if you want to execute Ionic build or Ionic run or any of those from directly within the IDE, you can do it. You can debug your Ionic apps. And actually, Max and I are just hot off of the tail of having performed a session, the very first session of Build, keynote aside, where we showed off Ionic 2, Angular 2, TypeScript, Visual Studio Code, and Visual Studio, and Azure App Services. And it was like just like a wham, slam, thank you, ma'am, litany of new features that are coming out.
Cool.
But yeah, Visual Studio Code, new Ionic support within the Cordova Tools extension.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So let's go. Ron, tell us a little bit about yourself, about the technology you're working on, where it fits into the world of JavaScript, because there's an awful lot going on. And for people who are deep into the technologies, they kind of understand. But let's approach it from maybe people are either just coming to it or know of JavaScript as, oh, yeah, that's a web language. But it turns out it plays a critical role in mobile development. So let's start by filling in a couple of the blanks.
Yeah. John, you want to start?
Sean, you're up.
Yeah, buddy,
do it. So I work for a company called Telerik. And we design and build a lot of tools to help bring a lot of apps to mobile devices. We love Visual Studio. We integrate with both Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code. So similar to the integration with Ionic, we have integration with Visual Studio Code for NativeScript, which is a framework and runtime that we have available. Completely open source, free for folks to check out, and allows you to write native mobile apps with JavaScript, TypeScript, if you wish. Mm-hmm. We have theming via CSS, we have animation support, got a lot of great stuff going there. So, yeah, a lot of great stuff going on that side.
Cool.
I'm Max Lynch, co-founder of Ionic, co-creator of Ionic, and we are trying to basically take the standard web browser technology stack that most web developers have been using for the last, two decades about, and bring it to mobile. So we have open source components, UI elements that work cross-platform, but still baked in using the standard browser technology stack. We built it on Angular, and now there's some awesome features inside of Visual Studio, et cetera, to really take it to the next level.
Has it been updated for Angular 2 yet?
Yeah,
Angular 2.
Ionic 2 was based on Angular 2 and TypeScript.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, I'm Jesse. I'm a long-term, long-time contributor to PhoneGap and to Apache Cordova. Which is where I spend the majority of my time these days. And we're JavaScript throughout, we're all open source. So not only do we make it easy for developers to build mobile applications using JavaScript, but the majority of our tooling is written in JavaScript, so we're very heavy into Node.js and NPM, mm-hmm. And publishing plugins that are written in JavaScript. So JavaScript throughout the whole ecosystem.
So if I'm a JavaScript developer, new to mobile development, there's NativeScript, there's Ionic, there's Cordova. Do I have to choose one path versus the others? Can I mix and match?
Let's
How do
let's
I know
start
what to
here.
Do?
Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's choice, which is actually the great thing about the web and web technologies, right? The ability to be able to choose from all of your frameworks and choose the one that is the right tool for your job is, I think, like one of the great benefits of JavaScript at large as an ecosystem, right? And so when one decides, like, do I go the Cordova route? Do I have to, you know, do I have to choose between Cordova and Ionic? Actually, in this case, really fortunately, no, because they're the exact same thing. The way to think about it is that Ionic is essentially a UI framework that lives on top of, in the runtime of a Cordova application. And all of that is fundamentally based upon JavaScript or TypeScript, as you like. Now, native script. You guys have kind of got your own thing going on, but it's a very cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're big fans of Cordova. We've got UI controls for Cordova as well. But on the native script side, one of the things we were hearing from customers is, you know, developers want to target native throughout, and they don't want to have to host a web view. They want to target native controls. And so with native script, we provide a mechanism to do just that. So you can invoke directly to the native APIs on iOS, Android, and now Windows. It gives us that option. So.
Yeah, I don't want to lose sort of track of the fact that, like, it's important to remember that within Cordova, you still get access to the native APIs.
True.
That's not something that you lose. It's really just the difference here is between the way the UI is rendered, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's subtle and nuanced the way that you look at it. The way that we target is we provide an XML-like dialect. It kind of looks like XAML, if you've ever done any WPF before. Those actually go down into the native layer of each mobile platform. On the JavaScript side, you can invoke pretty much any native API you want. There's no need to write a plugin or anything like that. That's all available to you. And we just provide a layer in between, a runtime layer, that will take care of that handling for you.
Yeah. And so, like, I think there's a lot of similarities between the way that native script operates and the way that React Native operates. And this is another area where actually just this last month, our team also released a Visual Studio Code extension with support for React Native tooling, which provides a lot of the same kind of stuff.
Yep.
So from a tooling standpoint, IntelliSense, command palette integration, debugging, and then this other great plugin that works for both Cordova and React Native, which is CodePush, that essentially allows you to update your app without having to redeploy to the app store. So if you've got a bug fix or a feature enhancement that you want to get out there without changing the primary kind of purpose of your app, right? You don't want to turn a business app into Snapchat, right? But so long as you stay within the general description of your app, you can update your app by dynamically sucking down the code from Azure, if you will, right? And simply rehydrating without having to go through the App Store. What I was really getting at, though, is the similarities between React Native and NativeScript.
Yeah.
Another important sort of decision point or fork to make here
is
that both NativeScript and React Native essentially allow you to run your JavaScript in a background thread, which then speaks to a bridge or an interpreter, which then translates all of your JavaScript calls into native controls. So the JavaScript is essentially saying, display a tab control here. And the native platform actually renders the UI at that point. And so all of these, underneath all of these stacks, whether it's React Native, or it's Ionic, or it's PhoneGap, or it's NativeScript, or any of these, I think the common thread running through all of these is that you can use JavaScript underneath them.
Yep.
They're even better if you use TypeScript underneath them, because the tooling experience is that much better. And then all of those have a home inside of Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code. So that's cool stuff.
So Max, let's talk a little bit more about Ionic. What are some of the features of it? Why did you write it? What kind of problems is it trying to solve?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of wrote it initially because we loved Cordova, we loved PhoneGap, but we felt like a lot of developers were struggling kind of building UI elements for it. And it turns out it's actually kind of challenging to build basically what is like a widget framework like Bootstrap, but targeted at mobile apps on top of Cordova and PhoneGap. So we started out just trying to build that component kit with HTML and CSS and JavaScript. And this was in 2013, and Angular was kind of blowing up. Angular 1.2 was kind of exploding. And for the first time, we had this JavaScript component model, this like web component model that hadn't really existed before, where you could write like custom HTML tags, but then get a complicated component underneath. And so we just kind of ran with it, and we felt like Angular was a really good vehicle for building custom UI frameworks. And that's worked out really well for us. We've been based on Angular for the last 2 years, built Ionic 2 on Angular 2, which is proving to be really exciting. We love TypeScript. We love the Visual Studio integration. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is there's a lot of enterprise users especially that love Ionic because they have web developers on staff. They know the technology. It's just a natural fit for who they have on staff. They don't have to outsource native development. So for them, like they especially are coming around to TypeScript in a big way. It's all this like static typing that lets them kind of harden their app and make it easier to work with. And so we're huge fans of TypeScript.
Yeah, I love the typing. I love that I can get better IntelliSense inside of it. But when I really think about why I have grown to enjoy TypeScript, I'll be honest, I was not always a TypeScript fan. I was, kind of hardcore JavaScript developer from day one. But when I really started to realize that TypeScript is really just JavaScript plus 3 to 5 years in a lot of ways, then it kind of shifted the way that I thought about it. Mm-hmm. And that by learning TypeScript, I'm essentially training myself for a job of the future, right? That, all of a sudden, now I can use decorators in my classes, right? That's something that's eventually going to come around to JavaScript proper with ES future, whatever we're going to call it, right? But I can use it today, and I can use it in both a cross-platform way and in a cross-browser way, because it all eventually compiles down to ES5.
Yeah, incidentally, we wrote about 98% of native script in TypeScript.
Really? That's solid.
So there you go.
That's sweet.
And it kind of helps, somebody just coming over from C# get a little bit more of a handle on JavaScript, I would think.
It absolutely does.
It can be kind of jarring to coming from the strongly typed world to the more of the loosely typed world.
I know the dynamically typed languages are scary. The dynamic languages are scary. But yeah, absolutely. For a C# developer who's looking for not just a little bit more, security is the wrong word. What is the word? A little bit more like they know exactly what's going on. Yeah, less seatbelts, right? Yeah. It's a little bit easier to come into TypeScript and say, oh, I know for sure that I'm dealing with a string here. I know for sure I'm dealing with this particular
class. Well, if it cuts down on the learning curve and gives you the ability to write more correct code, right? What's not to love
faster.
About that?
Yeah. And this is one of those places where I think TypeScript and cross-platform JavaScript really have a there's a lot. For the second time today, I'm going to use the word synergy. I got to break myself from this. But there's a lot of synergy between open source projects, open source JavaScript projects, and TypeScript. Because in the end, these are large projects with tens of thousands of lines of code. Mm-hmm. And those projects often have contributors coming from a lot of different places. And so being able to perform some kind of sanity check on new PRs that are coming in to know that at the very least, it compiles, right? And so that's one extra sort of check that the maintainers, the kind of the committers, like Jesse and I are both committers on the Cordova project. Okay. That's one less check that we have to make. We just know that at least it compiles. Now we can actually look at whether or not the architecture of that PR is right.
And so that's a great segue. Obviously, we are much more involved in open source. We have open source project ourselves. We just joined the Eclipse Foundation. We're part of the Cordova effort. How has our, let's call it a 180, it's almost a 360, we've gone around and around so far, this new Microsoft approach and participation in open source, how has that helped you guys build your products?
I can jump in on this one. I've been dealing with Microsoft in the PhoneGap project for 7 years. So the original Windows Phone 7 port of PhoneGap, I worked very closely with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. At the time, Microsoft wasn't actually contributing code directly. They were doing it through MS Open Tech, so the subsidiary company. But I worked very closely with them, and that really, I think, was the starting point to all the open source stuff that Microsoft is doing now, because a lot of people became very interested in Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 8 thereafter. And then, you know, I remember answering questions like, why wouldn't everyone just write in WinJS? Because we already provide a way for you to write a Windows Phone application in JavaScript. So why would you be interested in using PhoneGap or Cordova? And the answer was always, well, if you want to turn around and deliver the same thing on iOS or Android, then you have a much easier path if you're using the same JavaScript across all of them.
Right.
So that I think that opened a lot of doors for my team into Microsoft and getting more involved in open source with Microsoft over the years. Yeah, to the point where, I mean, there's 20 people who are actively contributing to Cordova from Microsoft. So I've been able to step back a lot on the Windows stuff that I was developing and focus more at a high level, making sure that our APIs are consistent across all our different platforms and those sorts of things. So that's been a really great add.
I think particularly with Adobe, I've personally really valued the partnership that our teams have had within the last 2 years, especially as we really tried to take Cordova, and it had already been around at that point for what, we're in 2016, 5 years or 4 years, something like that.
Yep.
And in the last 2 years, we've put a lot of focus on maturing the platform, particularly for enterprise scenarios. And so not just the companies that are represented here around the table, but also folks from like Google and IBM, the contributions that a lot of these really behemoths of technology have contributed to making Cordova as a platform more stable, more reliable, and to really put it into a place where any business can pick it up and be confident that the plugins and the platforms are secure, that they're going to work as advertised, and that they're well documented. Like having that allows companies like Ionic to build on top of it with confidence, right? And for on Telerik's side, App Builder, right?
Yep.
App Builder, which is itself downstream of Cordova. There's a lot of faith that can then be put on the open source project, and it's the open source model that allows these large organizations to be able to contribute IP safely and in confidence that it's not going to jeopardize any of their business outside of it. Instead, we can all collaborate to hopefully help developers do something better, do something greater with their own code.
Just speaking off that, I mean, like VS Code, for me personally, was a sort of seminal moment for me because I was like, wow, this is like totally different Microsoft than I remember. I worked at Microsoft for 6 years. I know what it's like. And to see VS Code ship as open source on Electron, you know, using JavaScript, or sorry, TypeScript for part of the language that it was built upon, it was just fantastic. And I love VS Code. So.
It's super, like, extensibility-wise, building plugins, I don't know what you guys' experience was building your native script plugin, but for us, it was super easy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, putting together particularly a JavaScript debugging plugin, because there's already an excellent JavaScript debugger, a Node debugger that was like kind of the first use case for code. It's really easy to adapt that then to a mobile device target as opposed to a Node server target, that kind of thing.
And a perfect example of that is look how quickly the marketplace has expanded.
Yeah.
So things going off. So
I know. It's like the whole thing is just blowing up like a firecracker.
Yep.
Yeah. Super, super cool.
Okay, so last question, if someone's getting started, what's the best place to go to learn how to use your stuff?
Nativescript.org, easy.
Okay. Yeah.
Make it your homepage.
IonicFramework.com.
Apache Cordova, I mean, Cordova, the documentation is so good there now with all the stuff that Microsoft has been contributing that, I mean, you're going to need to know that stuff anyway if you're using at least Ionic. You're probably going to dig in some. So I would recommend going to Cordova.
Totally.
And I will plus one Jesse's mention for Cordova, but then I'll also add to that taco.visualstudio.com.
Yep.
Taco, for those who may not be familiar with it, Tools for Apache Cordova. It's a mouthful, so we shortened it to Taco.
Best acronym ever.
Excellent. All right. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming on. And yeah, you guys will be around at Build if people want to talk to you.
We've got a panel tomorrow at 4:30. We'll be talking about things. And
so if you're here, come to that. If not, watch it on demand.
Awesome. Yeah, sweet. And check out, Max and I just delivered a session, like I said earlier. You can search for it online. Search for Cordova or Ionic. You'll find it pretty easily.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.